Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, November 15th. I'm Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok. It's been a week since a very surprising election day. You know, on election day, it's all hands on deck in the newsroom, and we're there a long time, all night long. And a lot of us have been around the block a few times. Brian Shields, myself, Joe Donahue, Shartok certainly. And I think all of us, I'm not speaking out of school, we've never seen anything quite like this election night. Well, it's been a week. President-elect Donald Trump has met with President Obama in the Oval Office. He's started to name administration staff and signaled at others. Donald Trump has spoken about unifying the country after a divisive campaign. Do you think he can do this? President Obama is overseas. He talked about learning lessons from this. What lessons have you learned from this election? The number is 800-348-2551. Open forum, 800-348-2551. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok on this open forum. President Obama is in Greece today. In a news conference, he is urging world leaders to draw some lessons from the results of last week's U.S. elections. I submit to you now, a week after a historic election, that this show should be a little less about angst and gnashing of teeth and wringing of hands about the election itself, and more about what lessons we can learn from this election going forward as a country. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. It's an open forum. We're counting on you today. It's 800-348-2551. Before we get to the phones, I'll get you up to speed on some of the events and news items from today having to do with incoming President Donald Trump. Vice President-elect Mike Pence is at Trump Tower in Manhattan for a meeting with Donald Trump as they look to fill more cabinet posts, although one senior Trump official says former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani is the front runner to become Secretary of State. Another official says former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton is still in the running. Bolton has years of U.S. foreign policy experience, but he's also raised eyebrows with some hawkish positions. In a 2015 op-ed in the New York Times, he advocated bombing Iran to halt that country's development of nuclear weapons. Donald Trump and House Speaker Paul Ryan appear to be moving past their differences from the campaign. Amid signs of support from Trump, Ryan is moving toward winning approval from House Republicans to keep his job in the coming Congress. According to a Republican lawmaker, Ryan told House GOP colleagues today that he'd spoken earlier in the day with Vice President-elect Mike Pence, and that Pence said he and Trump are very supportive of the leadership team. And even as House Republicans show increased support for Paul Ryan, some Democrats are showing signs of disaffection with their own leaders. And the Democrats have now postponed until the end of the month the leadership elections that had been scheduled for Thursday. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi and second-ranking Democrat Steny Hoyer have led House Democrats for more than 10 years. Both are in their 70s. More than two dozen House Democrats wrote to Pelosi this week to ask for the delay, saying the party needed to learn the lessons. There's that phrase again, learn the lessons from the election. There was a small sit-in yesterday at Chuck Schumer's Washington office. The protesters don't want Schumer to be leader of Senate Democrats. They want Bernie Sanders to be the leader. So as the new era in Washington begins, we're left with the questions by the bushel full. As I mentioned at the top of the show, President Obama is in Greece today. He did a news conference with Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. And naturally, the reporters wanted to talk with President Obama about the election. And he said that he's urging world leaders to draw some lessons from the results of the U.S. elections. He says leaders need to pay attention to people's fears of economic dislocation and inequality in the midst of globalization. So what lessons can you draw out of this? We want to know what you have to say. I mean, God, the election cycle was long. It has been so long and extremely divisive, and bad feelings have yet to ebb across the country. But I put it to you, as we move forward as a nation, how do we do it? And how do we put things back together again? Can we do it? We have received so many, it would blow your mind how many emails we have received to the roundtable panel and in general to our station, and so many calls to Vox Pop, as Alan does open forums, from people who are upset about the results. Some dispute the results. Some say the Electoral College is to blame. Some say the Russians hacked the election. Some just aren't happy their side lost and want a recount. Well, believe it or not, even though a vast majority of voters in our listening area in the Northeast voted for Hillary Clinton, there's a fair number who voted for Trump, and we've heard from them as well, and they're quite pleased with the result. But all of those topics that we have discussed leading up to the election and after the election, not really the topic today. We'll be discussing that forever. Today, we will take the coming Trump presidency as a given. President Obama, Secretary Clinton have all said the right things about giving the incoming president a chance and have asked the American public to do the same. So again, we get back to President Obama's question today in Greece. As we move forward, what lessons can we take from this presidential election? Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's an open forum. We start out with Paul in East Hampton. Paul, you're on.
Hello, Ray Graff. How are you?
Hey, man. Nice to have you here.
It's great to be here. Something that I learned, and I just was not anticipating this, but I'm a millennial, and I feel like I learned about, I'm going to call it mass millennial liberal complacency, because a lot of my liberal friends and I in the Western Mass area, we didn't really get on the horn for Hillary and, you know, visit New Hampshire and help her campaign. We didn't really make calls to Ohio like we would have, I think, in a typical election. We were just so confident that she would secure those swing states. And I just wondered if I'd love to hear from other folks. It doesn't have to just be millennials in the community, but were you as complacent as we were in sort of assuming that we didn't need to go to bat as hard as we thought we did?
But, you know,
in those swing states.
I think that's a great point. But as far as someone who is engaged, you obviously are. And the thing is, our listeners are really engaged in general about this. So maybe we are not a representative example of the rest of the country, because I think so many people who listen to this station are so into politics and the way the country goes. So you're obviously well engaged. Maybe from your perspective, you didn't do enough. And that's probably a discussion you have to have with your friends.
Yeah, I think that is the issue, is we didn't do enough this time around. I think about when Elizabeth Warren ran in Massachusetts for Senate, and everyone was just knocking on doors. It meant so much to us. And I don't know how much you can put on how energized we were by Elizabeth Warren and her campaign versus, you know, Hillary. There was so much assuming that she was going to succeed. She has succeeded in the past in so many other facets of her career, and we sort of just sat back and relaxed a little bit. So I think in the next time around, I don't think we need to sit back and wait to be invited by someone like we did with Hillary. You know, with Elizabeth Warren, we sort of had initiative, and I'd like to see us do that in the future and step forward and go to bed, visit New Hampshire, knock on doors, call Ohio Democratic voters, make sure that we get the vote out.
Well, that's
I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel this complacent next time around.
That's so, you know, it's such a great thing that you say. And regardless of what side of the political spectrum you're on, if people like you on all sides do that, then this was a positive thing.
Absolutely. I think that I have this hunch that folks that supported Trump did have that energy. And we just didn't. I just didn't feel that this time around. We just sort of assumed. And I don't think anyone assumed in Trump's supportive group. And, you know, kudos to them for backing their candidate as strongly as they did, and look what the outcome was.
Well, I got to tell you, and I'll let you go in a minute, I'm not an expert on things like body language, but I stayed up to the bitter end and watched the acceptance speech or the victory speech, and for all the world to me, subjectively, it didn't look like he expected to win. He looked surprised, I got to be honest with you. Well, Paul, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job there.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
The only thing I have to say is that history doesn't go in a straight line. It goes around in circles, and I sort of believe that it also goes in a pendulum back and forth. So if you don't like it this time, it's going to get better the next time. And if it gets worse this time, it's going to only get better. But one thing I have to emphasize is the fact that if you want to know how Donald is going to govern, you should read his books, because everything that he did is scripted in his book, just like Mein Kampf.
Have you read them, David?
Serious.
Have you read them?
I have, yes. Yes, so, and they're very easy to read.
They're
25
it.
Words or less, and you can, you know, you don't have to buy a bank. You just have to, that's what he's writing in his books.
Yeah, okay.
So it's not Hello?
I got you. No, we something that's on the line of being not something we say on the radio, but we do
He wrote it.
Yeah, we do get your point.
Him.
Well, that's fine.
He says things that aren't for the radio either. I apologize.
That's okay. We have a 7-second delay just for those sorts of things. Hey, David, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Oh, giving me a heart attack. Rick in Leeds. Rick, you're on. We got it, Zach.
Hi, Ray.
Right?
How are you?
Good, good. Please don't swear. My heart can't take it.
Oh, I believe you. Hi, Ray. You know, and just to say, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. Is that allowed?
Yeah, man.
You call me independent.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm sure I would have been disappointed on either side. I always kind of think Hillary was a little too hawkish for me. The emails had nothing to do with it. I read that repeatedly and I didn't find anything in there that had any substance. But anyway, the fact that who came to light here on the other side of Mr. Trump's end there was a lot of kind of racist organizations, the Ku Klux Klan and so forth. And that's very disturbing to me. And the things that are going on around the country now, the slurs and the, all of this kind of stuff is really just so counterproductive. You know, we're at a real critical time frame in humanity's basically existence here. We have climate change, which is probably the most threatening thing that could ever happen, and our president doesn't believe in that.
Okay,
a little disturbing to me.
What has he got to do? In other words, he'll be our president for 4 years, presumably. What does he have to do? And we have to go for a break, so I'll let you have the last 30 seconds here.
Well, it's the Supreme Court issue that also looms large, because if those folks are going to deny things like climate change, we're not going to get anything in place in time, and the future generations are going to suffer because of that. You know, we really have to be responsible now.
Well, Rick, we got to take a break here, bud, but thank you very much. We appreciate your point, and we appreciate your lack of four-letter words. Oh, Zach, let's take a break. Get the defibrillator out tonight.
Support for WMC comes from Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making and design services, from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. AmherstCopy.com. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, celebrating 35 years, serving the public, 800-342-3661. Stammel String Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows. Restorations and appraisals, open Tuesday through Saturday, stammelstring.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, working on land protection projects that safeguard the water quality of Lake George. Get more info, hiking maps, public events, and more at lglc.org. And Schenectady County Historical Society in Schenectady's Historic Stockade District, presenting the Grimes Doolittle Library's 25th anniversary with speaker and refreshments Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m., schenectadyhistorical.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, an open forum. Ray Graff in for Alan Shark. Talk this afternoon, 2:22 on a yucky, rainy, cold, damp November afternoon. But other than that, it's just fine. A couple of emails before we get to the phones again. This one from Mike in Ripton, Vermont. I've seen talk about the Electoral College voting with the popular vote, thereby overriding Trump's win. Is this real and not a fantasy? Is there any way out of this disaster? Well, yeah, the Electoral College, I believe Governor Cuomo signed a compact, which may or may not go into effect on the next round of elections, the midterms, which would basically override, basically give all New York's electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote in the next presidential election. We'll see how many sign on. I think a certain number have to sign on, but that's one end around on the Electoral College. However, those proponents will say, look, this is a way for states with less people to have a say. Otherwise, the very populous states like New York, California, they will have all the clout. And so that was one way of ensuring that the little guy and minorities also have a say. This one is from Chris, who says, beyond the protests in the street, I'm seeing people that normally are not activists at least becoming aware of what's going on, namely Trump's appointee of Stephen Bannon. Appointment of Stephen Bannon has ignited many calls to Mr. Tonko's office. Kudos to Congressman Tonko for sending a letter of dissent to Trump over this. Is this the silver lining in the election? That more people will now actually become engaged? What do you think? Well, Chris, I think that's what we heard from a couple of callers already, and we thank you for that email. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Eliza in East Hampton, you're next.
Hi there, Ray.
Hi.
There's obviously so much to say, but
The
point I'd like to focus on is the role of bystanders.
Explain.
I'm thinking of the Kitty Genovese case, where people just listened and decided that it wasn't really an emergency, and maybe their worst fears were not really what was happening, and this woman was killed.
Yeah.
So the importance of bystanders, both individuals, communities, the press, in being in reality, in calling out horrible things that are happening, and not just saying, well, no, he doesn't really mean what he's saying. He didn't really mean what he said in the campaign. You know, he won't really act that way. And it's clear he is acting that way, completely in concert with what his campaign was.
Well, he hasn't taken office yet.
Well, by appointing the people he's appointing, it's completely clear. And I think that we just have to be on our toes and not be in denial and speak up. If we're somewhere, a black person, a gay person, a Latino, an Arab is being harassed, we must intervene. We cannot stand back and go, oh, well, it's not my job. You know, I'm not going to say anything. It's too risky for me to get involved. We're going to have to get involved.
Well, personal responsibility is the first thing that you need
for
our freedom.
Community responsibility.
Yeah, well, that's
press
true, too.
Press responsibility, the responsibility of the press.
Interesting about the
Very
press,
important.
If you think about it, and of course I've done no actual studies, but subjectively, having been subjected to 18 months of campaigning, it would seem that the press, certainly I don't believe consciously complicit in most cases, but certainly everybody who you listen to, regardless of where you were on the dial, was pretty sure Hillary Clinton was going to win, and I wonder how much of effect that had.
Yeah, people probably just stayed home. They figured my vote doesn't really matter.
All right, well, Eliza,
you know, she's going to win anyway.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, we appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. Marion in Albany. Marion, you're on.
All right, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, that's great. One of the things that I read recently that I think is really incredibly important, so it goes along with the lessons learned, is the cultural differences between not certainly the extremes of people who voted for Trump, you know, the white supremacists, and there were a lot of those. And, but for the people, the majority of the people that voted for Trump, the blue-collar people who felt so disenfranchised over the last decade, and I realized when I read this one article that I really had very little in common with the point of view from where they were coming from. You know, this article was great because it made the point that it's almost impossible to understand the mindset of a person unless you walk in their shoes, which, of course, we say all the time. You know, to get the perspective of a person, you need to really walk in their shoes and know how they have to handle their day-to-day life. And one of the things that was said was that, you know, for an auto worker who's done his job for 40 years and has some you know, kid come out of college, 25, 26 years old, and immediately think that he's going to turn the auto industry on his head and start, you know, telling these people how to do their job with no understanding of where they are and not really caring. So I was starting to think to myself, gee, is that part of where the disconnect is? Is that I, as a college-educated person who's, you know, I always have a white-collar job, do I not really understand the issues and problems that are facing middle-class, blue-collar workers?
Well, it's a worldwide issue. It's a worldwide issue. And this gets back to that quote I had from, actually it's a paraphrase, from what President Obama said in Greece. And he said that world leaders need to draw lessons from the results of the U.S. elections and pay attention to people's fears of economic dislocation and inequality in the midst of globalization. So, Marion, you nailed what the president said today.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I did have a tip. I've been on the road from Buffalo to New London. I was with my brand new grandson. And
congrats.
I'm on my way back home. So, yeah, thanks. No, but I do think that this is important to us. I think it's the reason that everybody called this election so wrong.
Yeah.
That we haven't walked in this shoe.
You know,
and
that.
I think we really need to understand that.
In New York State, I was looking at the county breakdown of who voted for Trump and who voted, Trump and who voted for Clinton. A majority of counties in New York State went Trump. It's just not the ones around here. And so maybe you don't think about that. Well, Marion, thanks a lot. Drive safely and congrats on your new grandchild. 800-348-2551. It's an open forum. Ray Graff in for Alan Shartok today. And let's see, who's been waiting longest? Oh, yes, Mike. Mike on line 6 in Glens Falls. Mike, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much.
Sure.
Something that I'm very disturbed at, I've been reading incidents of what's been happening in schools. A school in suburban Detroit, we had white kids hollering at Hispanic kids, telling them that, build the wall, we're going to deport you. And then an incident in York, PA, with whites only labeled on one of the bathrooms and kids hollering white power. And the most recent incident was right in Shenandoah that was on the news yesterday with kids yelling, we're going to deport you, referring to Muslim kids as killers. And I think the kids are reflecting what they have been hearing on the campaign trail and hearing all this nastiness. And that disturbs me when we get our kids following in the footsteps of the adults they've seen, during the campaign.
Well, would they call this a teachable moment? And in other words, isn't then it time for parents to say, look, hey, Junior, you are out of line. It's time that you act like a real American.
And that's exactly what the school superintendent at Shen did. He sent a letter home to the parents, telling them to talk to their kids and talking to them about tolerance and respect for other people's opinions.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid of, at the end of the movie Tora, 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 Admiral Yamamoto talks about the sneak attack, saying that, I'm afraid all we've done is awaken a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. And I think that's what the side effect of this nasty campaign has done. Things, racist things, homophobic things, things that we would not normally say to each other in public, have now gotten a platform and a voice, and I'm very afraid of that.
Well, it's up to the current president and the president-elect to certainly come out strongly against that, but it's also up to every person. And I strongly believe that most of the people that you meet and the most of the people in this country are good people and people who want to do the right thing. It's time to stand up, and it's time to say, no, that will not fly. Gina in Saratoga. Gina.
Hi. Thanks, Ray.
Sure.
You were talking earlier about lessons we've learned from this election, and I have a list. But I wanted to start out by talking about women a little bit and saying that during On the Media earlier this week, I heard Rosemary Armeo and Dr. Shartok, and there was obviously a little stress and tension between them. I think a lot of women, especially women in their 50s such as myself, feel betrayed. And
by whom?
And by ourselves, by other women, for one thing, by white men, if you look at the demographics. And we are people with voices who are able to set amazing agendas like our candidate did. So I wanted to say that I personally would like some radio equality. And even though I enjoy listening to what you and Dr. Shartok have to share during the day, I would love for you to have a woman commentator, a woman who, or one or two women during the week.
On the round table?
Anywhere.
It's mostly Libby and Rosemary and Teresa Bourgeois.
Well, they comment, and that's wonderful. But I would really like to hear a woman with her own program.
Oh,
Maybe not every day of the week, but I think that radio equality would be a good place for us to start.
Yeah, well, I'm
and
not
I don't
sure you can
see why it isn't going on. I think we really frequently overlook women when we're talking about marginalized societies or members of society. The woman a few back who talked about getting involved when gays and Latinos and blacks and Muslims are being confronted or harassed should have said women first, because, I mean, sadly, I kind of begin to see this as the fact that women really are humanity's first, second-class citizen. And that's just something I wanted to share, and I would love it if maybe you could respond to that.
I appreciate the call. Let me ask you a question, Gina. Now, you obviously listen to Rosemary and Alan, and I think a lot of what you perceive as tension is actually more good-natured than you think. But Rosemary, several times...
I had no problem with it. I mean, I understand it. It was communications. It was tough to communicate their feelings to one another and talk about the topic at the same time.
So Rosemary keeps saying mansplain. Can you explain to me what mansplaining is?
Well, yeah. I mean, even the fact that we have to point out the fact that there is radio inequality.
So that's mansplaining?
Well, in a sense it is, because it's not something that would naturally occur to a man, but it does tend to be a part of what matters to a woman. So anytime a woman's in a position where she has to explain something in depth to a man, because men don't normally think of certain things that occur to and are very important to women.
Well, that's a very sexist thing to say.
That would be my definition of mansplaining.
Well, thank you, Gina. We appreciate that. I think, you may make a point there. Malcolm in Amherst, Mass. Malcolm, you're on.
Hi there. If I may, I'll throw out three quick things that I know that, you know, you said you're looking for solutions.
Lessons we have learned.
Okay, well, lessons, solutions. I think three big lessons. Yes, we need ranked elections and ranked voting. Yes, we need to get rid of Electoral College. And yes, here's the third thing. There are countries in the world, Ecuador did this just recently in their last election, that will fine a candidate for speaking like Trump and kick him out of the election. And we need that here in the United States of America. It is perfectly fair game if someone is spewing hate speech to kick them out. But can I just really quickly address the real elephant in the room here?
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Okay. That is this. The false sense of security that will come from the idea that, you know, hopefully Trump doesn't do the worst he said. Let's say he doesn't. Then the next time we get someone spewing fascist stuff like him, and even more of the American public shrugs their shoulders, like all the people around me that I'm seeing that are making me sick about, you know, electing a fascist to office, they're even more in denial about the danger. And it makes no sense to me that this is allowed to happen. So,
well, I hear the term
I want
fascist.
People to be aware of that.
I hear the term fascist being bandied about quite a bit with regard to Trump. So, can you give me an example of how he is a fascist?
Well, see, here's the false dichotomy that people draw, and they're drawing it right now. We need to wait and see what he's going to do. We waited to see what Hitler was going to do. When someone is speaking about, he spoke in all kinds of ways, Ray, that many, many people, sane people around us, were equating with fascists. I don't need to explain that for us to know it's true. Right. It was the rhetoric that is dangerous, not whether or not he's really going to do it.
Okay.
I'm just out of my mind that people around me don't get that that's why everyone should have done everything they can to keep Trump out of office in America, because that rhetoric is like yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. That's what it is. It's dangerous as heck, and it's getting people hurt and killed. And we need laws against it.
Well, we do. We have a constitution.
People can't see that. They're not. How come they're not holding him accountable? How come there isn't a specific law that says if you stand up in public and shout those kinds of nastiness that are so many people can say, oh, that's going to get someone killed. We need a law that specifically can go after someone like that. It's hate speech, but it's being ignored when it's on a campaign trail with one of the biggest, you know, megaphones on the planet.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call, Malcolm. Thank you very much. And over to John in Williamstown. Hello, John. You're on.
Hey, how are you, Ray?
Good.
First of all, this is about the press dropping the ball.
Good, man. Good. Let us have it. Yeah.
And the media, too. And I'm just going to, number one, I'm not a fascist. I didn't vote for Trump. I got no problem with a woman being president, but that wasn't the woman.
I've heard many women say exactly that thing, John. Exactly.
She was. I mean, I actually voted for a woman. So let's get. I got through all that.
Okay, but
let me also. The premise is also, I'm the grandson of legal immigrants who came over on Ellis Island.
Me too.
So, this is about illegal immigration. And basically, the press could have looked into a little bit deeper about what the numbers were, because the numbers that have been thrown around for the last, I'm going to say almost a decade now, are in the 9 to 12 million range.
Yep. That's the commonly stated.
Okay, you agree with that.
Yeah,
that's
more or
number
less.
One.
But who knows if it's true? I don't know if it's true.
You know what? I'm from New York originally. I worked down in kitchens. I worked in the construction business.
Yeah.
I would say 20 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, it's definitely true.
Okay, man.
To give you, people get on the Google. 1990, Guinness's Book of World Records. Most illegal immigration that year, United States, from Mexico, 820 million or 880,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Guinness's Book of World Record calculated. I'm not saying they're experts in
no,
that
I get
calculation,
it.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do the math. Since then, the tunnels have been huge in the last two decades. 1990 was 26 years ago.
Yeah, seems like
I'm
yesterday.
I'm going to say 9 to 12 million people would not have the impact on the healthcare industry, on local taxes, and the job market if it was just 9 to 12 million. We're a country of 300 million. We could not say easily absorb that, but we could absorb that.
So what's your
point? My
point
is, the numbers, if you do the math, the numbers are probably in the 40 to 50 million range.
Okay. And
the reason why I say that is because that indeed would have an impact on urban hospitals closing down.
I get it.
Their emergency rooms being overburdened with people who can't pay. And a lot of times it's illegal aliens. Now, and I'm not against people coming over here to work, but it needs to be documented. The whole thing needs to be changed and rectified. But that is just one huge, huge issue that was talked about over the election cycle, the illegal immigration problems,
yeah,
and the things that actually manifest, the problems that manifest because of that here. Local taxes being as high as they are. Hey, if a young kid that's a Spanish Latino that doesn't speak English, guess what? He's in school, elementary school. You have to teach him English.
Okay.
That's extra. I'm just saying.
No, I get it. We need to take a break. So give me your closing statement.
Thanks for letting me talk more than just a soundbite, Ray.
You betcha, man. You betcha.
I appreciate it. Peace, brother.
Thanks, John. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's an open forum. What lessons will you learn from the election? We'll keep the calls coming after this break.
Support for WAMC comes from Union Gables Mansion Inn, Saratoga Springs, celebrating 25 years providing a historic bed and breakfast with hotel amenities to individuals and businesses. UnionGables.com. Interactive Media Consultants, LLC, celebrating 20 years providing websites, branding, social media, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond. iMediaConsult.com. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care, and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. Tom McRae, Edward Jones Financial Advisor on University Drive, Amherst, Massachusetts. Member SIPC, Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing. EdwardJones.com/Tom McRae. And the Black Sheep, Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
I think all Americans can agree that Wayne Shorter's great. Tenor sax, right? Yeah. Okay. That's one thing we can all... Making jazz great again. There we go. You know, it's an open forum on Vox Pop. And before we get back to the phones, we'll do a couple of quick emails. And as we hit the home stretch here, last 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, I'll ask you to keep your comments as brief as possible. I don't want to cut anybody off, but a lot of people on the line, don't want to irritate too many people. beside everyone who's listening. This one came in from Nora in Berlin, New York. My family was split down the middle, pro-Trump and anti-Trump. I learned that it is vital for the health of relationships that you not lose sight of your appreciation and respect for people despite your differing views. Hallelujah, Nora, brilliantly said. Nora goes on. Also, it is vital to be your own journalist. There is so much false information at our fingertips, and it is so important to think for yourself and question what you hear, read, see. Critical thinking is not just a skill to use in the classroom. Anyone can do it. Mwah! Nora, so well said. Thank you for being you. This one is from William. A vote for Trump was a performative act of racism, misogyny, and xenophobia. William goes on, people may try to claim that their vote was for economic reasons or for change or other seemingly anodyne explanations. However, the facts are as loud as Trump was in his rallies. He is the acclaimed leader of the KKK and neo-Nazis, whom he attracted with his policies, his rhetoric, his dog whistles. He brought a white supremacist and anti-Semite into his inner circle. That is from William. William, thank you. And our number here is 800-348-2551. It's an open forum. And we go to Ken in Saratoga. Ken!
Yeah, hi, thanks. Sure. Real quick. I think things like what Comey did have to be illegal. That, to me, was an act of treason 10 days before the election. That's one. And two, and I'm a Democrat.
Okay.
The Democrats really have to get off this PC wagon. And I have a 25-year-old son. My son grew up during the day when, you know, little Johnny, originally, when my son was like five, you know, everybody wasn't getting a trophy for showing up. People are tired of that.
I'm so with you, man.
People are tired of that. And people, particularly, you know, right-leaning people are tired of that because they recognize that earning something and being distinguished by earning something as opposed to getting a ribbon for just showing up is really, you know, it's true. We some of us perform better than others. And we can't just say everybody gets a badge for showing up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there.
I'm sorry. It's just it's a fact.
Couldn't agree more.
I got a million other things I could say like everybody else. Just get on and thank you for the show.
Hey, God bless you, man. Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's a Vox Pop Open forum. Wow, what a crackling show we have here. Kate in Oneonta. Kate.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure thing.
Oh, okay, I got my speaker. Excuse me. Yeah, I have been listening, and Marion had hit it on the head pretty much for me. I don't want to repeat what she said, but I did call Alan right after the elections and pointed that out that, you know, my family was split. I was for Clinton, but my brothers who are farmers, fourth-generation farmers in the rural areas, that whole part of the world was for Trump for obvious reasons. You know, they – and the other thing, I won't go on because she hit it on the head. You have to walk in other people's shoes. And our tolerance for other people, you know, we talk about it. But in reality, we are all narcissists. And we all see things in our perspective. And until you can get the experience. And, for example, was Gwen Ifill.
Yeah.
She just passed away. Mm-hmm. She's a perfect example. She came up the ranks, but yet she did it perfectly because she had the experience that nobody else had in the journalist field. And that's just an example. But I'm going to go on to the thing about grassroots organizations.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get the most done, really. Government is so sluggish, so slow. They can't get anything done. Grassroots organizations can carry the ball here. And if enough people get involved, like I think about the Syria thing and not wanting refugees to come in and venting them. But back in World War II, grassroots organizations went in and got the children. And I know I'm not for splitting of families, but at that time, they needed someone to survive what was going on. And, you know, why can't we think of those terms? And about immigration, why can't we have a status limitation? We do on rape. If people have been in here 20 years and we've been looking the other way, yeah, I think they have a right to stay here because we weren't enforcing our laws. And now we decide to enforce our laws, it's hard to get those people to leave. So, you know, we have to start compromising on things and thinking out of the box, which nobody does. And the third thing
is the media
was a very huh?
You are. You're thinking out of the box.
Well, I do, but I sit here in my little desk. I work at home, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't get together. And like my brothers who are farmers, if anybody knew what happens to farmers in New York State, it should be against the law.
In what way? Quickly.
Tax people.
Yeah.
Say, pardon?
I'll just say, well, quickly, what way?
Oh, well, they're most heavily taxed people. They own property. They bear the brunt of school taxes since there's no tax base left in New York State. Property taxes, their paycheck is controlled by the government, and the government will take away or give back. You know, they're making wages on milk since 1950, yet they're faced with these strikes. Okay, and the third thing is the media. I did want to touch on that. And when you talk about, there was two women on your panel, and I'm sorry, I don't remember their names, but, you know, rhetoric works both ways, okay? And the people that, the blue-collar people, I'm not saying the bigots, because my brothers are not bigots. I'm saying rhetoric works both ways, because before the election, she made a comment about people crawling out from Iraq to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That really hit me, and it hit someone on the panel, too, the wrong way. That is, there you go, narcissism. There you go, looking in your perspective. Okay, there you go, making assumptions.
Case.
Now, there were a lot, and Steve Bannon is going to rile up those, the 30%, 20%, 50%, I don't know what they are. But it's other people that have to play against that. And the second thing she said that really upset me was when she's talking about the economic insecure, I don't know how she put it, economically insecure.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a word that is infantile. You think of children being insecure. You think of people that don't know how to take care of themselves being insecure. You look at the farmers, they are not insecure. They're being taken advantage of.
Okay.
The middle class has been taken advantage of as far as taxation in a way that is wrong. And that's what they're upset about. They're not insecure. And I'm going to say one more thing.
All right, now
I'm
going to let you go.
When you talk about economics, that's what turns people against each other. When there's not enough going around, when there's people missing at the table, when hardworking people are taxation, giving it to people that don't work. That's what strikes people hard.
Yeah. Well, Kate, thanks so much for the call, and we appreciate your views. It is an open forum, and we've had just that on this program. Let's go over to Clifton Park, and I hope I say your name properly. Is it Guven?
Yes, Ray, thank you.
Sure.
Just quickly, the 2 points, one for the press, one for the Democratic Party. Press really didn't do their homework. They were afraid to ask question, what, how, who, where, why, because Trump hit so hard and they were afraid. Second thing, Democratic Party thinks that blacks and Hispanics can do the heavy lifting every time. They're tired of it. Actually, America is full of white people, 70%, and Democratic Party forgot the workers, the white people. They heavily rely on the blacks and Hispanics. And that's why they keep losing it. That's all.
Thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551. Daryl on the road. Daryl, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from between Albany and Syracuse.
Okay, I hope your hand's free. You're on the air.
It's me. Here we go. Hey, here's the deal. I was born in the South. My dad got out of Korea, started a janitorial business, hired 40 black men. When they go on vacation, they're why to take care of us? I'm in the tub, bathing with another kid. I say, I'll treat you.
Oh, Daryl. Hey, are you on speakerphone, Daryl?
Yes.
I can't hear you too well. We're having a tough time.
It's twofold. WASP and racism. I'm a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Okay.
Grew up in the South. We had black man needs, black man age. We never were racist about that. Took baths with the same kid. And then I said, kid, I have to clean you. You're dirty. So you're not taught racism. You're taught racism. It isn't like inherited.
You're saying you're taught racism.
Exactly.
But I mean, isn't the economic system itself inherently racist in that situation?
It's probably economical as well. I mean, we were poor, so we grew up. We got segregated. I went to a black school. As a white boy, I got out of a 70% black. I was the most school spirit. Moved on, went into the military. Wanted to get promoted. Couldn't do that because they had to meet a quota because of more segregation and more laws to promote minorities. No problem with that. So all my ethnical friends, different, you know, I'm Cherokee. And I find out, fact, I could have used that Trump card, but I didn't use it. Not, no pun intended.
Okay.
So I moved on and got out of the military because I wasn't advancing.
Yeah.
I helped all my soldiers in my group get promoted, and they all said, we go to war, we're going to go with you. Come up on the bed. So I moved over to C's. I lived in Germany after I got out of the military. I got a residence permit. I got a work permit. I worked legal. I found, how it is to be a foreigner working in a foreign country. I thought the Gestapo was on the tram one day, and the girl goes, "Don't say that." She freaked out. She says, "Those are ticket stickers." Like, I didn't know. I was naive, right?
Okay, all right.
So they resent the fact what happened with the Jews. So a lot of them said, well, they weren't born then. I come back to America.
All right,
I moved to Miami.
We got to move it along here, buddy boy.
Okay, here we go. I got all these people down there working illegal, but, you know, making more money than me under the table. I said, here's how you got to do it. Get your lawyer, get your resident permit, and get your work permit. No, okay. They want to go illegal and do it the correct way. They
all
buy
right.
fakes.
All right, well, I get it.
So here I am. Not a story. What happened in rural America, and I've been driving over America the last 2 years now, like the earlier caller said, rural farmers, guys that, you know, have been disenfranchised like myself.
Yeah.
I can't get promoted. I'm white, single, and I'm male. So my brother goes, there's three strikes. How are you going to make it down to Miami?
Okay. Well, I see your point there, and certainly you're signifying a certain segment of the population that may have supported Trump. Thank you for the call. Chris in South Gilboa. Chris, you're on.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Sure.
It's been a very interesting program.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try to keep it short.
Okay.
I do want to say thank you to Malcolm. He really said some good things.
Good.
Very interesting things. Thanks, Malcolm. I'm moving forward and, say, giving Trump a chance. We're hearing a lot about that now, is that we have to give him a chance.
Well, the president
and we all
said
have
it.
To work together.
Yep.
That's the theme of the day after all the things that have been said that are so divisive.
Yeah.
And I want to just mention a couple things. I want to sort of think about the fact that the last time the popular vote won and the electoral vote was not as much, you know, the electoral vote and the popular vote did not
2000.
Agree. Right. We elected Bush. And what happened there? And, you know, we had all of this war and we had the worst economic situation that we've had since the Depression happened. And
Do you think some of that might have been resulting from the terror attacks?
Pardon me?
Do you think some of the economic situation?
Yes, it may be because of that. It may be because of the way that things were managed. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
There was a lot of...
yeah, I get you.
Bush was not a very strong president.
All right. And there are those who say that about
President
Obama.
And this is what happened and how he solved the problems wound us up in a lot of trouble.
Okay.
And basically the voice of the people was not heard when Bush was elected.
So you want the Electoral College gone?
I think I would think that the popular vote is a good thing these days, and that's probably why people are walking in the streets a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of people saying that. I'll agree with you there.
Right. And it would certainly, I think that's a consideration if it can be considered. I don't know under the current circumstances whether it will be considered. The other point I would like to talk about is that we are hearing a lot about, well, let's work with and see what's going to happen. Let's move forward. I would like to say that the very day that Obama got elected, the Republican leadership was saying he won't get anything done. And there was a huge roadblock for the entire 8 years that he was there. And in terms of what power is left, what little bit of power is left within the Democrats, they might need to think about stopping some of the stuff that has been proposed.
Well, and clearly there are enough votes in Congress for a united Democratic Party to say, we do not want this. We will stand in the way.
And
you're right.
Because a lot of what was represented in this election, a lot of what people voted for is not really what America stands for.
Hmm. So then... At this point, you are not reconciled to a Trump presidency, I think it's fair to say.
Well, he's going to be the president, but I'm very concerned about what kind of country we're going to have at the end of his tenure.
Well, Chris...
And what's going to happen to us if people don't step forward to, I'm trying to say it in a nice way.
I'm glad you're not swearing. That's all I can say. Well, you know, we got to leave it there anyway, Chris.
You haven't been around. around my house very much.
Oh,
lately.
Well, you haven't been around my house. Anyway, I don't have a 7-second delay at my house. I think my wife wishes I did. Chris, thanks a lot, and thank you, and you'll be the last one today. Oh, we're going to have to hose off after that one. Yikes. All right, that's how Shark Talk does the open forums, huh? All right, listen, I'll talk to you about cats. I'll talk to you about gardening. I'll even talk to you about sauerkraut. The political open forums. Good Lord, it's a contact sport. Support comes from ClipCentric Albany, a local video services division of ClipCentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV, albany.clipcentric.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Hitchcock Center for the Environment, Amherst, Massachusetts, celebrating their new living building, offering tours bimonthly and a hot water issues symposium on November 19th, hitchcockcenter.org. And Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001, stonesoupconcrete.com, and on Facebook. Thanks again. Wow, what an interesting raft of calls we had. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Susie Chekai, our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff, in for Alan Shartok. Oh, breathe deeply. It's over.